On this day of Pentecost, year 2020, we have a chance to celebrate the first day of the Christian church. Up until this moment, you have the Gospels. And before that, you had the time of the Old Testament law, the law of Moses. And during the Gospels, you had the reign of Jesus Christ. But after his death, there was a period where there was so much on the hearts of the people. In anticipation, in sorrow, the emotions were just absolutely raw for these folks. But then Jesus Christ appeared, and he was with them for 40 days. What a time that must have been. And how much that must have cemented in their heart the greatness of what God had accomplished. As a young boy, I was active in my church. None of the rest of my family ever went to church, but I would put on my little suit and little clip-on tie, and I would walk to church, and I would go to the Emmanuel Baptist Church. And it was a great church family there, and I remember that the head pastor would one time brought me into his office to sit down and explain to me about how to get born again. And it was a really wonderful time, and at 12 years old, I was baptized. I mean, when you're a Baptist and you get baptized, you get dunked. And they had a baptismal behind the lectern, you know, and so there was a curtain that opened up, and I remember getting down in that. I don't know why they didn't warm it up, but it was pretty cold. But it was an experience, and I remember every moment of it. But I also remember what it meant to my heart. But during all those wonderful years of learning how to be a Christian, I still was ignorant of even the term Pentecost. Because as you probably are aware, the Baptists don't operate the manifestations. And so there wasn't a great emphasis on what the day of Pentecost really meant for the Christian church. Let's go to Acts. Let's go to Acts. And as we read through this, I'm going to give you some observations of five things that we really need to take note of that happened on the day of Pentecost, that are pretty obvious as you read through them, but you might not have thought about this in this way before. And the first thing that you can see is the very first verse in Acts chapter 2. And that is, God's timing is always perfect. Although we have our own schedule of how we want things to happen, it isn't until we have hindsight on how God works things out many times that you begin to appreciate how, if it had happened according to the way you wanted it to happen, it would not have been good. But because it was according to the way God wanted it done, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. And that is, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now, according to church tradition, this was in the upper room. But that was not the case, as we well know, that this was in the temple. This was in the temple, and they were there at the hours of prayer. And that was a few, different times during the day, but at this particular time, was one of the hours of prayer, and that's what they were engaged in. They were praying in the temple. Let's go to back to chapter 1, verse 3. And this is where Jesus Christ is telling him that God has his own timing. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion or death by many infallible proofs. That's interesting, isn't it? How many people have said, well, Jesus Christ, there's not any proof that he was ever alive. Au contraire. These are infallible proofs.
Wow.
Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, do you think that the apostles kept that a secret? No, not at all. These are the things we learned about. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. So Jesus Christ absolutely described to them all the things that was going to happen. Now, the things that was going to happen before his passion or his death, he was limited in his understanding and his knowledge even then. But during those 40 days, I'm sure God was showing him stuff that was going to be great. But even then, the great mystery was held in abeyance. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, just like I was, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So he's giving him a window of time that this is going to happen soon, not many days from now, but you need to stay in Jerusalem. Because if you're not in Jerusalem, you'll miss it. Because that's where it's going to happen. And they obeyed, of course. The second thing is that this was a supernatural event. This wasn't part of the Jewish culture, Jewish tradition. This was something extraordinary, spiritual. The power of God was given to men and women by birth. This had never happened before. It was in full measure to everyone, each and every one who believes. Wow. Full measure. So we see this in Acts chapter 2, verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. If that isn't supernatural, I don't know what is. But how much we take that for granted once we learn how to speak in tongues. We have the ability to accomplish something that is beyond the natural world each and every time we think to do it. And that's all it takes to speak in tongues, is thinking about doing it. They had waited all those millennial to have this opportunity to have Holy Spirit. Yet, we can do it each and every moment that we think about it. Think about it. The third point, it was on full display for the world to witness. This was not done behind closed doors in an upper room. This was done in the temple so that everybody could see it. And this was during a time of worship. Verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. That was something to pull off in itself, wasn't it? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans, which were considered country folk, not really all that highly educated. So when these Galileans were speaking, they were kind of dumbfounded. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Now, this was the Feast of Weeks, as the Hebrews would call it. And as Jeff pointed out earlier, and they were coming in from all over the world. They would make pilgrimages to Jerusalem. They couldn't do it all the time, but they were coming in at for this special high holy day. And it says, verse 9, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Perga and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our language the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocked, saying, these men are full of new wine. But this was the witness. So even if they didn't believe, there was witnesses who were able to say, yes, this happened. I thought they were crazy drunk, but it still happened. Fourth point. God revealed by teaching what was needed for the man of body and soul to become complete again by receiving Holy Spirit. We now have the opportunity and right to commune with God and become like His Son. Become like His Son in power and in His character. Verse 14. And Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Now everybody thinks in the last days, this is the last days. But there's a lot of last days, okay? But this is, again, referring back to the pointing of God's timing. All right? Said God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall come in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Here it comes. All that was the lead up of why this could happen. Because it was prophesied. God said it was coming. Now, here comes the drum roll, please. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. What was he? A man approved of God. Which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. God did those miracles by him. It was God's will that he did each and every one of those beautiful miracles that came to pass. God said, do it. Jesus Christ did it. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Was that the truth? Did it make him feel bad? So it is the truth sometimes does make people feel bad. But it is only the truth that they can be set free from what caused them to feel bad. It is in the heart of how you tell people sometimes is whether it's receivable or not. And Peter's heart was for these people. He wanted them to be able to see it in a way that they couldn't simply brush it aside, that they could absolutely give themselves to a full understanding of what's happened. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. He's referring back to the great patriarch David, who every one of these Jews had great respect for because he was the first king of Israel that God had appointed. Saul was before him, but Saul was there because the people wanted him. David was there because he was who God wanted to be on the throne. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his scripture is, the sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, did you know David was a prophet? He was a king, but he was also a prophet. And knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Hang on a second. Okay, here we go. What verse was I in there?
Like 31.
31, okay. He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens. Boy, if you're wondering where the scripture is, whether the dead are alive now, there you go. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. The next thing you need to, or I'd like for you to take note of, is that there has to be a true change of heart, a true repentance in the lives of the people that hear the scripture before they can receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. That means they felt bad. Not just felt bad, they were grieved. They were tremendously grieved because they understood. They started to understand the significance of what they had just done. And that's what repentance is. It's a recognition of what you've done wrong and then turning and going the right direction. It's like you're going down the wrong road and all of a sudden you go, I'm going the wrong way. And you turn around and you go back the right way. And repentance only takes a decision. And it can be done in a moment of time. There isn't a long build-up to repentance. There doesn't have to be, anyway. It can be done in a moment of time.
Cool.
And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So they were given all the information that they needed to make a decision. But they didn't know what decision to make. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a condition. That's an absolute condition that someone needs to meet. No matter whether somebody does it or not, if God had not made it available, they couldn't be saved. They couldn't receive Holy Spirit. It was only because God had made it available, offered it to them on a silver platter, all they had to do was say yes. But they first had to do what? Repent. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. And I think of the time that Fred was talking in manifestations about our flesh not becoming who we are. We become who we are in Christ. We are no longer that person that you remember back before you got born again. That's not who we are. We are a totally new person. But we have to keep doing the changing. If you start standing still and not going forward with God, you go back to default settings. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received. Are you still with me, guys?
Yes.
I think
we read through the second chapter.
All right, good, good. All right.
Verse 41.
Then they gladly received his word, were baptized the same day, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That was a good day. 3,000. Now they got to figure out how to take care of those people, right?
Right.
Because all they knew at that point was that they received Holy Spirit. That's all they knew. And many of them had heard very little about Jesus Christ because they had come in from other countries. But those are the people that was taken care of. Verse 42. From that first day, the believers set a pattern for the church to follow. And we are following the path that they blazed. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The word of doctrine simply means teaching. So as the believers were gathering together in fellowship, the apostles were teaching. What kind of things do you think they were teaching? The things that they had heard from Christ. Not only when he was alive, but during those times of his resurrection when he was with them those 40 days. And in breaking of bread. Well, that was certainly a part of what they were doing, was sharing a meal after that. And I'm sure they were also experiencing a communion at those points as well. And in what?
Prayers.
They were spending time praying together. Isn't that exciting? We just many times do not give credit and just how powerful prayers are. And we can do it anytime that we choose. And not only can we pray with our understanding, but we can pray perfectly when we speak in tongues. And fear or respect came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And the apostles were teaching the believers how to do that too. And all that believed were what?
Together.
And I think this is a way that we can be together even though we can't be together. The word still lives in our hearts as we open the Bible together and we share the word and we share our hearts with each other. What a great thing to do. And they had all things common. If you want to see what it's like to have all things common, come to our house. If you say to Debbie, "Boy, that sure is a pretty lamp," you're probably walking out the door with it. But the point is that they didn't look at themselves and their possessions as something that was something to hoard. You know, they didn't put great stock into things that they owned. If there was a need, it was used for the movement of the word. And sold their possessions and goods. Where they had plurality, they got rid of the plurality. If they had five houses, they sold off some. And parted them unto all men, as every man had need. So where there was needs, the needs were taken care of. And they, continuing daily, with one accord in the temple. Can you imagine the excitement?
Yeah.
That was the thrill. And they just couldn't stand to be apart from each other. Because you know why? They saw the Holy Spirit working in each other. They saw how God was inspiring and blessing and giving of Himself and His wisdom and the power that was in that Holy Spirit. They saw it working in each other and they just didn't want to be away from each other. And with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Great and wonderful and glorious things happen when we are like-minded and are of singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. They were such a blessing, not only to themselves, but also to their community. Isn't that something? That even their neighbors who had not yet believed had to take notice of what was happening in their neighborhoods. And the Lord added to the church, how often?
Daily.
That means when you came to fellowship, there was always new faces.
Wow.
Always new faces. Such as should be saved.
Amen.
Isn't that great? Now let's go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This wonderful day of Pentecost was the start of something remarkable, which continues to this day. And in God's own timing, the next phase will happen. And that will be according to all the scriptures. We know that Jesus Christ is going to return. So chapter 1, verse 8, what are we supposed to be doing in the meantime during this time of the new birth of Holy Spirit? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be what?
Witnesses.
Now there were people around that witnessed the day of Pentecost.
Ow.
There were people around who got to see Jesus, witness Jesus Christ in his 40 days in his resurrected body, right? And they were all testifying of what they saw. Well, what is the witness that we can share? How the Holy Spirit changed us. That's what we can make witness of. That's how we can be a witness. And be a witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And sometimes I feel that Rockford is that point, the uttermost part of the earth. But as we continue to reach out, we'll find out where that uttermost part of the earth is. Because if we're willing to go, God will send us. So that's what I'd like to share this day.